Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In the Rutland area, the name Lenny Burke is well known. But thanks to a new book by Yvonne Daly called A Bend in the Road, Lenny Burke's remarkable story of overcoming a traumatic brain injury is being rediscovered by a whole new generation. As VPR's Nina Keck reports, many are only just now realizing the tremendous impact Burke and his mother Emmy have had on TBI treatment in Vermont and beyond.
Mount St. Joseph's Academy in Rutland has hosted hundreds of basketball games, like this one, over the years. But for this story, we're going back to one particular game that MSJ hosted in 1979. Lenny Burke was a 17-year-old senior and star forward who dreamed of playing college ball. He was a natural athlete and gifted student. Middlebury and UVM had already accepted him for their pre-med programs the following year. But everything changed that January day, 36 years ago. Lenny was leaping toward the basket, trying to score, when a player from the other team rammed into his legs and undercut him. Lenny's mother, Emmy Burke, was in the stands and saw her son crash headfirst to the floor.
He did try to stand up. And I know in his mind he was wanting to make that shot because he knew he was fouled, but of course, the subdural hematoma came so fast that he couldn't stand up.
There was an unnatural hush in the stands, she says. Everyone just sat there stunned, watching as Lenny was taken out to a waiting ambulance.
I really did not know the seriousness of his injury. I had never heard of TBI, or it was called head injury at that time. I'd never heard of it, so I just didn't know what to do, or how we should handle it, and relied totally on the doctors.
Local doctors did all they could, but they weren't optimistic, and Lenny remained in a coma for 45 days. During that time, Emmy says she willed her son to breathe and read everything she could get her hands on that had to do with brain injuries.
I didn't find much of anything. The doctors were kind enough to let me go into the library and take a look, and I remember picking up a book that said The Shattered Mind. And it was all written in lingo that I did not understand. I was a mom, period, and I didn't know anything about traumatic brain injury except for one article that I had read in the Ladies' Home Journal.
The article had described a new technique for head injury victims that called for lowering the person's body temperature and increasing their oxygen. Emmy mentioned it to the local neurologist, who promised to look into it.
And he went home and read about it and put Lenny on that method. So what it did was relieve some of the pressure of the brain and save some of the neurons and things that are very important.
It would be the first of many instances where Emmy took the lead in her son's recovery.
Emmy is one of the most impressive people I've ever met in my life. Not only in terms of her resiliency and not letting go of things, but searching everything out. And she was never afraid to try something.
That's Rutland native Ron Savage.
At the time that Lenny was injured, I was a special education teacher. And when Lenny was injured, there was everybody was just trying to figure out, what do we do about it?
The community rallied, raising nearly $100,000, an unbelievable amount of money at the time. When Lenny finally awoke from his coma and began to speak, Savage says people were thrilled.
We all thought that with that money, we're going to send Lenny across the country to California, the only place at the time that worked with people with head injuries. And we all thought, to be quite honest with you, that if we sent him out there, that he was going to come back fixed, if you will. That's not the way he came back.
Savage says Lenny returned to Rutland with huge problems and few answers as to how to overcome them.
And that's sort of the area that no one had really investigated whatsoever. We knew how to save lives. We had a little bit of rehabilitation here and there, but no one was doing afterwards, a year afterwards, 2 years afterwards. What do you do 30 years afterwards?
Emmy had gone to California with Lenny and had peppered the rehabilitation staff there with questions and watched everything they did closely so she could care for her son when she brought him home.
The doctors did set us up with a psychiatrist who said to me, "You've done it once, you can do it again." Just being a mother, just take care of them with your instincts and do what you need to do. So that was really good advice, and it wasn't daunting. I knew I could do that.
Emmy and her husband had three other younger children, and she says the entire family helped with Lenny's recovery. But it was a long haul, filled with frustrating ups and downs for her oldest child.
He had a long streak of inappropriate behavior, and that was the most difficult part. And we watched him all the time to see, what is he saying now? And it became really stressful for all of us.
But Emmy was determined. She wanted Lenny to return to high school and have a life. So she called Ron Savage, who she knew taught special education. Savage wanted to help, but admits he felt daunted by how much he didn't know about brain injuries. So he began reading. He says he was shocked by the lack of material.
It surprised me because we knew about this population from World War II. There were studies of thousands and thousands of men who came back with head trauma, and certainly from Vietnam. But no one was sort of writing up what works, what do you do, what's the evidence, is this the best practice, what types of therapies, modalities are going to help this person to improve their functioning.
Savage's research took his career in a whole new direction, and today he's one of the nation's leading experts on traumatic brain injury, heading up a pediatric brain injury rehabilitation school in New York City, chairing the International Pediatric Brain Injury Society, and serving as a past chairman of the North American Brain Injury Society. He says everything he's done in the field, he can trace back to Lenny and the early work he and Emmy began in Rutland.
What happened with Emmy and I, we started getting calls from other families that said, I also have a child with a brain injury. I also have a spouse with a brain injury. And it was like one call after another call after another call. And Emmy and I were literally sitting around one time talking, and I said, you know, there needs to be like an organization. There needs to be outreach. There's not just one Lenny Burke. There's a lot more. And of course, Emmy, you know, felt the same way. And Emmy's thing is, well, then this thing needs to be built and formed.
With help from a small grant, they created a statewide organization called the Head Injury Stroke Independence Project, HIS for short.
Within no time whatsoever, here's Emmy and Lenny getting in the car, and they're driving all over Vermont to meet with parents and people who have had brain injuries, and they're helping them.
That's Yvonne Daly, whose new book, The Bend in the Road, chronicles Lenny's journey.
And they're finding what resources are in their neighborhoods, in their schools, and they're working with them to try and brainstorm with them ways to keep young people, for example, from living the rest of their lives in nursing homes.
Daly writes that in the first 4 years, the HIS support group helped more than 500 families.
And this led to Emmy and Lenny together realizing that what most people needed was to be at home or in an apartment that they could manage, or if they couldn't, to live in a facility that was like a home. And that's how we got Lenny Burke's farm.
In 1987, Emmy bought an old farmhouse and barn in Wallingford. Daly writes that turning it into a residential treatment facility was a huge undertaking, but Emmy trusted her instincts, and many in the Rutland community pitched in to help. 2 months after they opened, Lenny Burke's farm had its first client. That was 27 years ago.
Today, Lenny Burke's farm has 5, soon to be 6 facilities, serving about 25 people in-house with full-time residential treatment. And then we have about an equal number of folks who are in their own apartments, in jobs, throughout the community that we provide services for as well.
That's Kevin Burke.
I'm the co-director of Lenny Burke's farm, have been for many years. Most importantly, I'm Lenny's brother.
Kevin says when his mom first came up with the idea of creating home-like settings for people with brain injuries, it was pretty unheard of. But he says now it's widely regarded as a highly successful, more cost-effective model of care. Kathy Chandler has worked at Lenny Burke's farm for 15 years.
I always say it's the most real place I've ever worked. It's real life, it's home, it's, you know, it's therapeutic and family.
At one of the group homes in Wallingford, staff members move a long table out of the kitchen and bring in folding chairs. On Thursdays, the weekly support group starts with a sing-along that attracts both current and former clients.
Well, thanks for coming. Hey, it's so good to see you, Judy. Okay, hey, how are we doing? Is everybody here?
One of the residents reclines on a stretcher. Others rely on walkers or canes. You can hear the faint hiss of an oxygen machine mingling with the jokes and laughter, the teasing and chatting.
Yeah. Hey, what's everybody want to do? Does anybody want to sing a song?
Gary Wade, one of the lead staff members, works the room with a guitar slung over his shoulder.
Somebody want to pick one out?
Yes.
Bones, what do you want to do, Bones? Does that mean you want to do your song? Yeah, man, I want to hear your voice today.
Bones, whose real name is Christopher, sits in a specialized wheelchair and watches Gary with a huge grin. He can't speak, so uses a computer-generated system to answer.
Yes.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze, country road.
The music is just so therapeutic, it's just beyond words. I mean, we have people with expressive aphasia that, you know, can't talk, but they could sing right along, and we've seen their speech increasing with that. It's just amazing that the peacefulness that it creates and the support of everybody.
Since 1987, Lenny Burke's farm has worked with hundreds of people who are coping with brain injuries, something Lenny himself finds hard to believe.
It's amazing to me when I hear that we have all these places. I know we do, and I can even remember now that we do, but it almost boggles my mind to realize how many people we're helping and how many places we're doing it. And it's wonderful. This is why God has me here. This is why I survived my injury.
Ron Savage says the positive ripple effects go far beyond Vermont. Historically, he says teachers didn't consider traumatic brain injury when assessing a child for special education. But thanks to Lenny's experience, that's changed.
Because what we're finding out from our national studies is a lot of kids are injured before they enter school. Shaken babies, three-year-olds that take bad falls.
Savage wrote the first textbook on how to help kids with TBI do better in school, and he pushed hard to ensure federal funding.
So because of Lenny and because of our work in Washington, D.C., a group of us were able to get traumatic brain injury added into the national special education laws.
Something he says Senator Robert Stafford, a Rutland-born lawmaker keenly interested in education, helped spearhead.
That's why I like the Lenny Burke story so much, because we all know that bad things roll downhill. But good things also roll downhill and can spread. And this is one of those stories where, you know, it was an extraordinary family. You know, and that family was just remarkable. But then it was everybody sort of within Lenny's inner circle. And then it spread outside there, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So this was, from my viewpoint, ground zero, because the Lenny Burke story is the story of how we finally understood the significance of brain injury in this country. And a lot of good things have come out of it. That's what's really fascinating.
Savage says the importance of their work continues now. The issue is resonating with the public because so many U.S. military veterans are being diagnosed with TBI, and the dangers of concussion in sports are now more clearly understood. 1 million new traumatic brain injury cases are diagnosed in the U.S. every year. Savage calls it a silent epidemic, but thanks to Lenny, he says it's one we're now understanding much better. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck.
Take me home, country roads.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Good job, everybody.
You can see photos and excerpts from Yvonne Daly's book, A Bend in the Road, Lenny Burke's Farm, on our website, vpr.net. On a related note, next week we'll look at an event called the Vermont Brain Bee. It encourages high school students to learn about neuroscience, and one of the champions of the project is also a Vermonter who has survived a traumatic brain injury. That's it for today's show. Tomorrow, what's next for healthcare reform in the wake of Governor Shumlin's decision to pull the plug on single payer? We'll talk with Green Mountain Care Board Chairman Al Gobay about the work the board continues to do and its goals. Send your questions or comments about the future of healthcare reform to VermontEdition@vpr.net and listen tomorrow at noon. Our producers are Patty Daniels and Rick Singeri. We have production assistance from Aaron Lucy. Peter Biello directed the show, and our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.